Have Delta and Northwest agreed to walk away? An M-20 pilot dies in a crash but saves others on the ground. And answers trickle in regarding last Saturday's B-2 accident in Guam. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, February 29th, 2008. We'll have more details as soon as they're available, but the bulletin is this. After weeks of speculation and leaks about a merger between Delta and Northwest, WCCO Television News in Minneapolis is reporting both sides have walked away from the talks due to opposition by labor unions to the merger. Other sources are reporting the talks are only suspended, and neither company is saying anything officially. The news follows a blunt merger-get-off-the-pot memo from Delta CEO Richard Anderson earlier in the week. We'll follow the story in print form on our website at www.aero-news.net. Local authorities say three people on board a Mooney M20C died Wednesday evening when their plane crashed in a residential area west of Los Angeles. The Associated Press reports the aircraft had just left Riverside Municipal Airport when it came down less than a half mile away. No one on the ground was hurt. Witnesses said the pilot appeared to be attempting to land on a street to avoid homes, but struck a palm tree and a car and caught fire. Witness Steve Kaiser told the Riverside Press Enterprise, quote, "It blew up and all the trees caught fire," unquote. He added the plane sounded like it had had engine trouble. Riverside Fire Battalion Chief Mike Esparza commented, quote, "The pilot did one heck of a job avoiding these homes and preventing anyone else from being hurt," unquote. The pilot of a Cessna 210 was not as successful in avoiding bystanders in a Wednesday crash in Chile. AFP reports the plane, carrying two police officials and four teenagers, crashed shortly after takeoff from Tobalaba Airport in the capital of Santiago. All six on board and another five people on the ground died, and another 25 were reportedly injured. Witness accounts and official reports suggest the aircraft was approaching the small airport to land when it lost power, attempted a sudden U-turn, and fell into the field where an aerobics class was underway. Police say four women and a small child on the ground were the victims. The plane's pilot apparently steered away from a nearby residential area and may have been attempting an emergency landing on the field. We're getting a few more details now on the crash of a U.S. Air Force B-2 Spirit bomber in Guam last Saturday morning. Investigators tell the Air Force Times that one of the pilots reported a fire on board just before the crash. The aircraft then reportedly rolled uncontrollably to the right and hit the ground at Anderson Air Force Base. As ANN reported, both pilots ejected safely. One is still in a Hawaii hospital being treated for spinal compression, according to the Pacific Air Force Command. On Monday, the Air Force declared a safety pause in B-2 operations until a cause can be determined. Officials stressed the fleet would still be available for urgent missions. A special deployment of six B-52s from the 96th Bomb Wing at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana will handle patrol duties in the Asia-Pacific region while the Spirits are parked. The first Indonesian airline pilot to face criminal charges related to a crash has now also lost his job. An attorney for Garuda Airlines Captain Marwoto Komar says his client was presented with the choice to resign or be fired. A report in the Sydney Morning Herald says Komar will be charged with negligence for his role in the crash in Yogyakarta on March 7th last year. Investigators determined that Komar became fixated with landing and ignored 15 alarms and verbal warnings from his co-pilot, warning that he was too fast on final approach. Komar is free on bail after his arrest earlier this month. Indonesian authorities may have felt pressured to make an example of the pilot in response to worldwide pressure to improve the country's abysmal airline industry safety record. But aviation regulators worldwide urged Indonesia to reconsider, saying criminal charges for pilots will only suppress the reporting of safety issues in the future. After the airliner flown by Komar touched down at 255 knots, it overshot the end of the runway, which was too short for the plane under international standards. It came to light that Komar may have resisted his co-pilot's pleas to abort the landing because he was being paid a bonus by Garuda for conserving fuel. After the plane came to a stop in a rice field 300 feet past the end of the runway and exploded in flames, the airport's firefighting equipment reportedly took an hour to reach it and extinguish the blaze. The words systemic and scapegoat come to mind. Up next on ANN, Liberty Aerospace celebrates the delivery of the 100th XL-2. Airlines take issue with Kate Hanai's report card. And the hours count down to a possible weekend strike at Lockheed. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 29th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Liberty Aerospace, manufacturer of the two-seat Liberty XL2, announced Thursday the delivery of serial number 100. The aircraft was delivered to Robert Kinney during a press event at Liberty's manufacturing facility in Melbourne, Florida. Kinney learned to fly in a rented XL2, and this is the second one he's purchased himself. He says he plans to use it for advanced training and personal transportation. Quote, "I like to compare it to a Mazda Miata. It's an economical, sporty two-seater that handles well and is a blast to fly," unquote. Since its start in 2000, both Liberty and the XL2 have evolved significantly and seen their share of issues. But Liberty executives say they've seen growing acceptance from flight schools and private owners in the USA, Australia, Europe, and Asia. As ANN reported, the company announced in December a 600-plane manufacturing agreement with China's Anyang Angel Aeroscience and Technology Development Company Limited, valued at $150 million. The company also notes the XL2 is fully IFR certified and offers a number of features unique to the market, including a FADEC power plant. CEO Keith Markley says aircraft number 100 marks an important milestone and adds, quote, "We look forward to the next 100 aircraft coming down the line rapidly," unquote. The Air Transport Association, an airline lobby group, is taking issue with an F grade the industry has received on a report card released this month by the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. Cade Hanai, founder and executive director of the coalition, says a Bill of Rights is needed because as it stands, airlines can hold you on a plane indefinitely against your will and are not required to provide even basic needs such as food, water, or functioning toilets. Quote, "Incredibly, prisoners of war have more rights than passengers on a commercial airliner," unquote. She also criticizes the Department of Transportation for failing to track tarmac strandings, which end in flight cancellations, or strandings during diversions or international flights. She says leaving out, for example, last winter's strandings of passengers on 11 JetBlue flights in New York distorts the picture and allows deceptive airline industry claims that strandings are infrequent events. The ATA responds that Hanai's tactics are not helpful and that steps to resolve the problems have been taken. ATA puts blame for strandings on what it calls an antiquated air traffic control system. But the move to the FAA's next-generation technologies has been resisted by the airlines, and the FAA doesn't expect to get a new satellite-based system in place until 2020. Hanai says that even if circumstances are beyond their control, airlines must still provide basic needs for their customers. The group's final 2007 report card on the airlines can be viewed at www.flyersrights.com. That's F-L-Y-E-R-S. This weekend will be a tense one for Lockheed Martin and its employees. For the third time in 6 years, labor contracts will expire without a new agreement in place, raising the possibility of a strike any time after midnight Sunday. Last-minute negotiations continue, and the union could hold a ratification vote on a last, best, and final offer from management this Sunday at noon. A signal that the two sides are not close to an agreement came when a recent preliminary vote resulted in strike authorization by a 98-2 margin. The workers are demanding guarantees of job security, pension plans, and health care coverage. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the last two strikes, in 2002 and 2005, brought mixed results for the union, resulting in eventual approval of contracts, not much different from offers rejected just before the strike started. The U.S. Air Force is pushing to keep production lines for its C-130 transport planes from closing down, while it faces tough decisions about whether to actually order more of the planes. The service is in a similar quandary with its C-17s and the F-22 Raptor fighter. The Bush administration has not budgeted for the planes the Air Force says it needs, so decisions on keeping production running are in holding patterns, while Congress debates Air Force funding requests $19 billion higher than what the president has requested. California Congresswoman Ellen Tauscher has criticized the penny-wise, pound-foolish budgets coming from the White House. She termed the practice of shorting the Air Force, quote, "a nasty little habit the administration has gotten into," unquote. She adds it leaves the Air Force little choice but to purchase fewer planes at higher prices than a larger deal would have allowed. The Air Force has asked Congress for 8 more C-130Js and 15 more C-17s than budgeted. The service also hopes lawmakers will approve funding for more than the 183 F-22s currently authorized. Still ahead, Sierra Industries adds 400 miles to the range of its Citation upgrades. Eurocopter reports a big sales debut for the EC-175. And Cessna racks up more Asian orders at two recent shows. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, February 29th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The Cessna Citation jets are big sellers and highly regarded, but Sierra Industries has carved out a nice business making them even better. In addition to its well-known Williams engine upgrades for legacy Citations, the company told ANN this week things have been kicked up a notch with the announcement of its XR extended range upgrades. With the addition of the exclusive aft fuel tank modification, Citation 1, 2, and S2 models gain an additional 120 gallons of fuel capacity, allowing up to 60 minutes of additional cruise and 400 nautical miles more range. The FAA-approved modification includes a double-walled aluminum fuel cell in front of the aft cabin bulkhead, minimizing changes to the aircraft's center of gravity. It's only 18 inches deep, preserving cabin space and even a usable aft toilet. Sierra says its Williams FJ44 engine upgrades, a prerequisite for the XR option, make it possible to enjoy increased fuel capacity and extended range while still retaining a maximum fuel payload of nearly 500 pounds, which is more than the original Citation II without the additional fuel. The XR upgrade adds $199,000 to the engine upgrades. The full Stallion XR modification on a Citation 500 or 501SP, including two new Williams engines, takes as little as 10 weeks and costs $1.8 million. More info on these and other available Sierra options, including complete turnkey jets for those without a plane to start from, is available on the web at www.sijet.com. If you've ever wondered how the bean counters at aircraft companies can justify those big trade show displays, here it is. Eurocopter says it wrapped up Healy Expo 2008 in Houston, Texas, with a total of 111 orders for its newly introduced EC-175. The company says it also booked 120 new orders for the rest of the line. Right after it unveiled a full-scale mock-up of the 175, Eurocopter announced that launch clients would be Bristow Group, the largest U.S. oil and gas operator, and Canada's VIH. All 111 EC-175s ordered so far are headed for offshore oil and gas missions and search and rescue service. The 175 is a 16-passenger, 7-ton class helicopter. It's being built by Eurocopter, a division of EADS, in cooperation with China's AVIC 2. The company says its first flight is scheduled for 2009, with European type certification expected in 2011. Cessna tells ANN it completed a successful visit to the Asian Business Aviation Conference and Exhibition Forum 2008 on February 14th in Hong Kong, and followed that up with a trip to the Singapore Air Show the following week. The result? Orders for 74 aircraft with an estimated value of more than $219 million. Cessna announced that private aviation services provider BJets placed an order for 20 Citation CJ2 Plus business jets worth about $150 million. India-based Chimes Aviation ordered 11 Skyhawk 172Rs and 9 Skyhawk turbodiesel models. And Susi Air of Indonesia ordered 6 Grand Caravan 208Bs. Cessna officials also brought home purchase agreements for an additional 17 single-engine pistons, 9 Caravan turboprops, and 2 Citation business jets. Cessna says the orders came from Australia, China, India, Indonesia, the Philippines, South Korea, and other locations throughout the Asia-Pacific region. Finally, Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, aka SpaceX, tells ANN the company has completed qualification testing of its Merlin 1C next-generation liquid-fueled rocket booster. The testing ended in a marathon at SpaceX's facility near Waco, Texas. The Merlin 1C engine endured 4 full mission duration firings in a single day. Tom Muller, Vice President of Propulsion for SpaceX, commented, quote, "This marathon run brought the total operating time on a single engine to over 27 minutes, which is more than 10 complete flights. The engine meets or exceeds all requirements for thrust, performance, and durability," unquote. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk says that in coming weeks, the company will begin qualifying Merlin for the higher thrust and performance levels required by the Falcon 9 rocket, the first copy of which is due at Cape Canaveral by year-end. The single Merlin 1C will power SpaceX's next Falcon 1 mission, scheduled to lift off this spring from the SpaceX launch complex in the Central Pacific Atoll of Kwajalein. The much larger Falcon 9 uses 9 Merlins on the first stage and a single Merlin in vacuum configuration for the second stage. In its Falcon 1 configuration, the kerosene-oxygen-powered Merlin 1C has a thrust at sea level of 78,000 pounds, a vacuum thrust of 90,000 pounds, and is the first new American rocket booster in 10 years. With production targeting one engine per week by late this year, SpaceX aims to produce more rocket booster engines than the rest of U.S. production combined, and more than any other country except Russia. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Earl Lawrence, the Experimental Aircraft Association's Vice President for Industry and Regulatory Affairs. We'll discuss some of the misunderstandings which have popped up since the FAA announced a moratorium on new additions to its 51% list. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.